the book of 1 Timothy, if you would please. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's look at a few verses together, the first four verses of 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And we'll look at those together for a few moments this morning. We'll reference a few other verses, but they'll be pretty close in proximity to where we're starting at. We're going to talk about God's purpose today. God's purpose. I know that's a very general title, but I think we'll see it in the passage and the other passages we look at this morning. God's purpose. Sometimes we call ourselves Bible believers, but sometimes, and I've said this before, we allow ourselves, for the most part, to let our circumstances dictate how we behave or what decisions we make. When, if we're truly a Bible believer, we'll make decisions based upon God's Word in spite of our circumstances. Circumstances are subject to change. God's Word is eternal. It's forever settled in heaven. So that's good, but sometimes we're too aware of what's going on around us and not aware of what God's already revealed, how everything's going to turn out. So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning with God's purpose. We'll look at the first few verses of 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Did you hear about the two fellas that were watching Monday Night Football together? And the game was over. It was late. The nightly news was on, and they decided to watch the headlines of the nightly news, and they showed a man that was on a ledge threatening to jump. And the one guy says to the other guy, he goes, "I bet you $50 that guy's going to jump off that ledge. He's going to jump." He says, "I'll take that bet." Sure enough, they watched the news, and the guy did jump. And so he says, "Hey, you owe me $50. He goes, "Okay." He says, "I do want to confess something to you. I feel a little bit bad. I watched the 6 o'clock news, and I knew that he was going to jump." And the guy says, "Well, I watched the 6 o'clock news too. I just didn't think he's going to choose to do it again." So your choices mean something, don't they? Let's look at the scripture this morning. We're going to think about this theme together. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority." And boy, we have some folks we need to pray for that are in authority today. They need prayer. They need it real bad. "That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time and your word together. Thank you for those that have taken part in this service today by choosing to be here, Father. May you bless our time together. May we be strengthened in our faith. But Father, most of all, may we be reminded of your will today and your purpose. Father, help us to make decisions based upon what you've already told us is going to happen and what you're going to do. Father, help us to believe you. We thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all these things now in his name. Amen. Circumstances were not predestined before the foundation of the world. Circumstances are not God's secret purpose. Circumstances are the result of man exercising his free will. God gave everybody, no matter what anybody says, anywhere, it's just a joke to even argue about it. God has given every man a free will. Every man has the opportunity to make choices. Okay? And what we have left after we make choices and decisions, what we have left is circumstances. Now, sometimes those circumstances that are around us were created by somebody else's choices and decisions that they made. But yet, much of what we face, I face and you face, are decisions that we've made.
Right.
Did you hear about the old lady that somebody was riding down the road and they saw her just throwing a stick up in the air? She just kept throwing a stick. She wasn't catching it. She's letting it hit the ground. She just threw that stick up in the air. And they've asked her, finally got the curiosity and their nerve up enough to ask her, not sure if they wanted to answer or not, but they asked her, said, "Why are you throwing that stick up in the air, letting it land on the ground?" She goes, "Well, I throw it up in the air because I want to see which direction I should go, but it keeps landing facing that way and I don't want to go that way." So she's going to keep throwing the stick until it landed and faced the way she wanted to go anyway. That sounds like believers sometimes. God's Word says to go one way, but we keep trying to find a sign and trying to find something mysterious and trying to decipher a code. I've said it before, and it's worth saying again. God's will is not a mystery. It's not. It's not a mystery. It's not something where you got to play Indiana Jones again. You got to decipher some Latin code and cross something, and only the penitent men will pass. And I have to go through all the rigmarole that sounds real dramatic and makes a great story for one day, but yet that's not what it is. God has revealed His will and His word, and either you're going to accept it and make decisions in accordance with it, or you're going to do your own thing. See, making decisions, making choices have results. People will say stuff like this. They'll say, why does God allow such and such to happen? When a tragic thing happens in life, why, God, why? Sometimes I just want to step back and say, why are you even involving God in that certain thing? So, give you an example. 9/11, we just had the memorial to the 9-year anniversary of 9/11, that terrible tragedy. You know, I heard all kinds of people say all kinds of things about that tragedy, but you know, you can't blame 9/11 on God. You know what you can blame it on? You can blame it on some bad decisions people made. Yeah. You can blame it on choices made by some Muslims in their religion, making them into suicide bombers, and the choices they made to come to that terrible conclusion that we came to that day. And by the way, they were making decisions based upon what they thought was the will of their false god. They didn't just come up with that. They didn't go eeny, meeny, miny, mo and decide to do that. They thought that was the will of Allah to do those things. No matter what the news media says, no matter what other even religious people say or what government officials say, no, that's what they were doing. They were trying to carry out the will of what they thought was right to do. Yeah. That, you know what? If you say it that way, then you realize their religion is not a good religion. Yeah. You realize their religion is actually evil. Yeah. Only evil would want you to make decisions that are going to take that many people's lives and make that kind of impact. Yet, bad choices made by Muslim suicide bombers, choices they had made based upon their false religion, bad choices America made. Let's just put it all out there for a moment. America made some bad choices leading up to 9/11, and now even after 9/11. You know, trying to accommodate a false religion, trying to pretend it's not false, and trying to pretend it's not evil when it is. The enemy within is always a bigger threat than the enemy that's without. And yet we're accommodating, trying to actually enable these things. Imagine 8 years ago or 9 years ago, the very thought of a mosque being built anywhere in the proximity of Ground Zero. Yeah. Oh, the whole nation would have been in an uproar, but it's going to happen now. Yeah. Apathetic people, deceivers in positions of leadership, it's probably going to happen, and I hate to say that. I hate to say that it happened on our watch, metaphorically speaking. I hate to say that, but yet that's probably what's going to happen. I remember all the news media and their coverage of it, and I'm like everybody else that was probably in this room that was alive or competent during what happened in 2001. I watched the news about it, and I remember news reporters interviewing some Christian celebrities. I remember one in particular interviewing Franklin Graham. Why would God allow something terrible like this to happen? Trying to put the blame in God's, put it on His side of the court. Trying to put it on His shoulders. Trying to put that burden on Him. And I remember I appreciated what Franklin Graham had to say. He quickly said that was not God's plan, His original plan. And he goes through and he talks about Adam and Eve in the garden and goes all the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin entering in God's creation is why all this tragedy and heartbreak and heartache and all these things that we deal with day in and day out, that is why sin is the reason. And you can't blame sin on God. In fact, pretty much everything originated with God except sin. It did not originate with God. You know, there's a spiritual principle. And it's not just spiritual. I guess you can just say it's even a natural principle because it governs the saved and the unsaved alike. The principle goes like this. It says, you will reap what you sow. So when you plant it, it's going to grow. You're going to see it again. You might see it in a week. You might see it in 5 weeks. You might see it in 5 years, but you're going to see it again. See, choices and decisions are so very important because they do have results and consequences. You will see them in your circumstances. You will see them again in your life. So I say all that to say this. The believer is to make decisions based upon the known revelation of God's will.
Amen.
You ask, what's the will of God? Trying to make it mysterious again, like I said earlier, but I'll give you a little poem because sometimes you remember poems better than some of the things I say. You ask, what is the will of God? Well, here is the answer true. The nearest thing that should be done that Christ can do through you. That's the will of God. The will of God is every day. The will of God is not something you long for and you search for 10, 15, 20 years of your life and finally you find it, oh, it's too late to do it. That's not what the will of God is. The will of God is today. The will of God is tomorrow. The will of God is right now.
Amen.
Doing what God would have you to do. And you just read His book to find out about the will of God. There's a verse over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 9. And it says it this way, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. It says, He has made known unto us the mystery of His will. If it was a mystery in time past, well, it's been revealed now. It is no longer a mystery. We know what God is doing. So we are to make decisions based upon what we know God is doing.
Amen.
Where do you find out what God's doing? You look in the book that God wrote. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? It really is simple. It's not this mysterious thing like I keep saying. It's really easy. You just got to be able to read what God wrote in the Holy Scripture. Now, the Christian life deals primarily with lining up with God's revealed purpose. We line up with it, then we choose our priorities based upon God's purpose. I'll give you an example. Go to the book of Ephesians real quick. It's just a few pages back to your left. Maybe, I don't know, 10 pages back to your left or so, something like that. 10, 12 pages. Ephesians 4. Let's look at it together for a few moments right now. Ephesians 4. Look at verse number, here's a good example here. Verse number 22. For the believer, for the person that's saved, the person that's in Christ Jesus, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Okay, so there's some put-offs you're supposed to do. The old man, the flesh, wants to do things that God does not want you to do as a believer. Verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So instead of letting the flesh, this body, this earthly fleshly body be boss anymore, now you're renewed in your mind by the Spirit of God. And now what the Spirit of God tells you to do, and you find that revealed in God's Word, that is what's supposed to boss you now. That's what you're supposed to be answering to now. So you have some put-offs. Like, let's look at some examples here. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. Verse number 26 talks about being angry and not sinning. Verse number 28 talks about stealing. Let him that stole steal no more. So there's put-offs and then there's put-ons. Look at verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So if you were lying before, in verse 25, you put away lying and you put on the truth. Let every man speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. If you're angry before and you weren't dealing with it the right way, then you next time you deal with anger the right way. According to verse number 26, you don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, because that'll give place to the devil. So verse 28, here's the put off. Let him that stole steal no more. Stop stealing, but rather, this is what you do instead of stealing, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Now, do you see it? There's choices. God says, now that you belong to me, now that you're a believer, now that you're saved, don't do this, but do this instead.
Amen.
Here's the put offs. And here's the put-ons. You know what that is? That's simply choices and decisions we have to make. We're wanting to wait around for some mystical breeze to blow through, or some dove carrying a message, or something happening, the geese heading over, pointing in a different direction, and we follow the will of... No, you just do what God asks you to do.
Amen.
You make decisions, your choices, you make those in line with what you know God is doing. So, I say all that to say this as a matter of introduction this morning. Are you laughing? It really is. It's my introduction. See? introduction, and here now we're on this side, okay? My dad knows, and he's not laughing. Well, maybe he's laughing, but what is God's purpose for you? That's the question. You're sitting here today. You made a decision to be here. I personally thank you for being here today. I'm glad you're here. There's other people that made different decisions than you. They're not here today. Pretty simple. I'm glad you're here. So while we're here together, let's look to God's Word and ask this question. What is God's purpose for you? What is God's purpose for you? Well, let's answer it according to that passage that we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 a few moments ago. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So the first thing I'm going to talk to you about out of verse number 1 is that God would have all men to be thankful. You see that part there? It's talking about prayer, and I've preached on this before. I even mentioned this about a month or two ago as we were getting down to a verse further down in the chapter. But there's a statement there. It says, in giving of thanks be made for all men. First of all, let me just say this for you today. As a believer, God would have you to be thankful. Amen. Now, I know Thanksgiving is still a month or two away, I guess, 2 months away. But we can talk about thankfulness even though we're out of season right now. It's always the season of Thanksgiving if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, understanding what God did for you. God would have all men to be thankful. There's giving of thanks. Now, let me say this to you. If you don't see things in this life according to God's revealed purpose, then you're not going to be thankful. So if you're going through this life, I mean, sometimes even saved people, they go through this life and they're not happy with how things are going. They're upset about the way things are going. And I'm not trying to be silly and like we got to be happy all the time about what happens in this life. I'm not trying to be silly or trying to be unrealistic, let's say it that way. I'm not doing that. We live in this reality. But yet, sometimes we lose connection with what God is doing. And if you do that, you're going to find yourself unhappy and unthankful while you're living this earthly life down here. If you lose sight of what God is doing, His revealed purpose, then you're not going to be thankful. But listen to this. If you remember and you always keep in mind what God is doing, I'm talking about in the general scheme of things, how things are going to end up according to what God says, then no matter what happens in this earthly life, you can still be thankful. Amen. That's why the Bible says you can be thankful in all things. If you know what God's doing and you're keeping that in mind and you're working towards God's purpose that He's revealed, then you can be thankful no matter what happens down here. So it's a matter of focus. It's a matter of perception. What does the Scripture say there in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1? It says, set our affections on things above, right? Talks about in Philippians chapter 2, I think it is, somewhere towards the end of the chapter, it says, our conversation is in heaven. Amen. So you have to view this life with heaven, or let me say more specifically, with God's purpose in view. You got to live it. Yeah, you got to live in the bad times down here. You got to live it when your country's changed so much. I say this all the time. I've probably said it from the pulpit before, but my dad's lived 75 years, and some people would ask, why does most of the time, most of what he deals with in Scripture, it comes back to how our country is today, the sad shape of the United States of America. I said, if you've lived 75 years and seen a country change as much as he's seen it change in his lifetime, you're going to be talking about it a lot also. It's changed a lot in the 37 years of life I've lived. Much less the 75 years or fill in the blank how long you've lived. It's changed a lot. And that's sad, but you know what? You can still be thankful and happy in spite of the sad shape of our country today if you're keeping God's revealed purpose in view. Amen. You can be thankful. Yes, you can. You can be thankful. John Wesley went and visited this lady. She was on her sickbed. She was pale. She was looking poorly. She had just buried 5 of her family members in the last 6 months. She'd just gotten the news that her husband was lost at sea. And yet he goes to visit her trying to, and boy, you pastors, you've been that have done ministry, just being friends to somebody and you have to go to them during a time of tragedy, that's a hard thing. Yes. Because you think you have to say something, but for the most of the time, there's nothing you can say. Except, I'm sorry and I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Well, he's dreading going to see this lady, not in no way he's going to say to this lady, what horrible circumstances she's faced with. And he goes to her, and yet she's cheerful, and she's praising God. And he says, how can you praise God in a time like this? She goes, well, I know what God's will is, and anything that happens down here, I can still be thankful because I know how it's going to turn out in the end. That's how you have to view things during this time down here on this earth. Because it's going to turn bad. Hey, I hope yesterday was a good day. I hope today's been a good day for you so far, but tomorrow or you're going to have another bad day coming up sometime soon. That's just reality. Yet you can still be thankful and you can still have joy because of what God is doing. Philippians 4, verse number 6 says it this way, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care about things that happen to you down here. If you get real full of care, it gets so heavy, you'll crumble underneath the weight of it. Yes. You can only do so much. You're just human. Be careful for nothing. But, here's the put-offs and the put-ons again, by the way. Put off being full of care and being so stressed out you can't even function down here. But, instead, here's the put-on, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And by the way, the next verse, right? And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, if you do things God's way, you do the put-offs and the put-ons, God will give you a peace that passes everybody around you's understanding. Amen. Passes human understanding. God will do that. Because of Christ Jesus and what we have in Christ Jesus. See, God's goodness in healing, God's goodness in helping His people in all times of need. The Bible says He's a very present help in a time of need. That's what the book of Hebrews says. That calls for our thanksgiving. We are to be thankful people. Even when you think you can't do it, you ought to be a thankful person. You know how you do that? By looking at what God's doing. Looking how it's going to turn out in the end. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is in the book, and the reason it's in the book is in light of God's revealed purpose. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's purpose, God's will for you today, not mysterious. Give thanks. Be thankful. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have everything to be thankful for today.
Amen.
I'm talking to believers right now. I'm not talking to unbelievers. I'm not asking you to be thankful. I'm talking to believers, those in Christ Jesus, those whose sins have been forgiven,
Amen.
Those whose trust has been placed in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You need to be thankful today. I don't care how bad last week was. I don't care how bad your wife beat you up. You still need to be thankful.
Amen.
I didn't know if we were going to make it to this part of the message, but number two, here's another part of God's purpose. God would have all men to come into the knowledge of the truth. Look at verse 4, chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Let's look at that last part first and the first part last. To come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, John 17:17 says it this way. Christ is praying there. That's the real Lord's Prayer there, I guess you could say. He says in that prayer, Thy word is truth. Truth is this book.
Amen.
Truth is also a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the living word. This is the written word. You can't separate the two. They go hand in hand. They go together. Thy word is truth. You need truth today. You live in a world of lies. You live in a world of deception. You live just like we were talking about false religion a few moments ago. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. You need the truth today.
Amen.
And the truth's not something you've got to dig in a cave for. The truth is not something you have to decipher. The truth is something that's not some calculus formula somewhere, some equation that you have to solve. No, the truth is right here in this book that God gave us.
Amen.
And God would have all men to come into the knowledge of the truth. If you're saved today, understand this. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells you to study to show yourself approved. Unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have the book. You don't have to learn different languages to go find out what God said. You have it right here in the English language. Just take it. Just read it. Just study it. Just rightly divide it. And you have the truth.
Amen.
Once you have that truth, by the way, take it and commit it to other faithful men. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says. Thou therefore, my son, here's my advice to you. Here's what you should be doing with your life, Timothy. Here's the will of God for you, Timothy. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's God's will for you. If you're a believer today, learn it, get steeped in it, understand it, and then share it with other people also.
Amen.
Teach it to other people also. That is God's will for you today. That is in accordance with God's purpose.
Yes.
And that is what I am to do, and that's what you are to do. Say, well, I'm a carpenter, I'm a this, and you're a preacher. That's for you to do. No, it's for every one of us to do. To learn it, to study it, to understand it, and then to pass that understanding along. We're all stewards. God's given us something. We're supposed to, as a steward, we're supposed to dispense that out and pass it along. God would have all men to come into the knowledge of the truth. If you know God's word, then you know God's will. If you know God's word, then you know God's will. You know what God will have you to do if you know what His word says.
Amen.
Ephesians 3:9, real quick, please. Just back over to your left. We were over there earlier. We took a practice run. Let's do it for real now. Ephesians 3:9. And here's Paul talking about what he should do. He says that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's in verse 8. Look at verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse number 11. I'd really like to talk about verse number 10. Look at verse number 11. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ came, He walked this earth, He died a sacrificial death. He died for our sins and shed His blood according to the Scriptures. He was buried in a tomb according to the Scriptures. He rose again the third day, supernaturally, something no man had ever done, not in the way that Jesus Christ did it, and never since, not before. And He rose from the dead according to the Scriptures, never to die again. He's still alive right now. That is what God's revealed will is. It might not have been known before the foundation of the world to some of God's creation, but it was known to God. It was known in the triune God. And now it's revealed because Jesus Christ came. He accomplished what God had for Him to do.
Amen.
And now we're supposed to understand that truth and make all men see the fellowship of this truth. God's revealed purpose. It's so easy to see. God's eternal purpose. It says it actually in the words and the letters that make up the words right there that we read. God doesn't complicate things. We complicate things. Religion complicates things. God would have all men to be thankful. God would have all men to understand or to know the knowledge of the truth. And let me lastly say this morning, God would have all men to be saved. You saw it earlier. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, the first part, 1 Timothy 2, 4, who will have all men to be saved? That is an amazing statement right there. God. We're talking about God who has no limitations in His being and His character. He is everything that's holy, everything that's right. That is who God is. We can understand Him the best we can down here in this earthly, depraved, fallen state that we're in. But we just know that God, who's higher and above everything, He's the originator of all things. He is that uncreated creator. Nothing you see didn't come from God when it comes to God's creation. That God would actually say that He would have all men to be saved. That means if you're here in this building today, God desires you. He wants you to be saved. People outside this building this morning, they're not excluded. God wanted them to be saved too. The Bible says in the book of Titus, I believe it's chapter 2, it says the grace of God that have appeared to all men. God would have all men to be saved. Well, you say, well, if God would have all men to be saved, then everybody's going to be saved. No, only those that will agree, that will accept what God has done for them. God will not save anybody against their will. God will not twist anybody's arm. God will not make them say, uncle. God will not force them to love Him. He only wants those that choose to love Him. He has chosen us. The question is, will we choose Him? Decisions and choices are very important. Your eternal soul depends on what choices you make in this earthly life. God who will have all men to be saved. God desires that all men should be saved. Let me show you a verse. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. One page over to your right. One page over. 1 Timothy 4:10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. Now look at this. Who is the Savior of all men. So God is the Savior of all men. But look at it. Especially of those that believe. Amen. He's the Savior of all men. But those that believe are the ones that are going to realize that He's their Savior. So God's not saving anybody against their own will. If you're here today, you have a choice. God's already made His choice, and His will is very clear. If you want to know when someone's earthly life ends, what their wishes were, what things were to be carried out after they're gone, they leave a last will and testament. Well, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of Father, but He left His will right here for easy for us to read. We don't need a lawyer to decipher it for us at all. God's will is that He wants you. He'd have you to be saved. He wants to spend forever with you. He wants you to spend forever with Him. The question is, are you going to say yes or no? Because it's your choice. The ball is in your court. Salvation is universal. It applies to everybody, all mankind, but it is conditional. It is conditional. All men who accept the conditions of repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what the Scripture says, everybody that accepts those conditions will be saved. There's no doubt. There's no, well, wait and see. There's no question mark on it. Maybe, hope so, hold out to the end. No, there's none of that. Those that accept the conditions as laid out by God the Father, salvation available through God the Son, everybody that accepts that, they'll be saved. But those who refuse these conditions will not be saved. They'll be lost. God is willing to save all men. There's no distinction. Whether you're Hebrew or heathen, God's willing to save you. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the book says. The question is, what's your decision today? What's your decision? God's decision, His mind's made up. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same.
That's right.
All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name.
Amen.
Let me read you a story and then we'll conclude with this morning. A story is told of a young curate, that's how you say it, in England, the Church of England. He was greatly helped in his understanding of the Scriptures by frequent conversations he would have with an uneducated cobbler. But this uneducated cobbler was not really uneducated, because he was well acquainted with the Word of God. And by the way, what the world says is educated and uneducated isn't right. Your knowledge of God and His revealed purpose, that would basically, that's the bottom line on whether you're educated or uneducated. Well, on one occasion, when a friend of this young theologian was visiting him, he mentioned this remarkable knowledge of the Bible which the cobbler possessed. The young theologian, in a spirit of pride, this friend of his other kid, in a spirit of pride, he expressed a desire to meet this cobbler, saying that he felt sure he could ask some questions which would be quite, the cobbler would be quite unable to answer. So upon being introduced to the man in his little shop, the question was put, "Can you tell me what Urim and the Thummim were?" What the Urim and the Thummim were. Some of you understand that question. Some that haven't read your Bible don't understand what that question is. It's in the Old Testament, okay? And I'm not going to talk about it right now. Don't dare me to, okay? Because your roast will burn if I have to talk about the Urim and Thummim for a little while. The question is to this cobbler, can you tell me what the Urim and the Thummim were? Well, the cobbler replied, I don't know exactly. I understand that the words apply to something that was on the breastplate of the high priest, Old Testament times. And I know that through the Urim and the Thummim or the Thummim, the high priest was able to discern the mind of the Lord, find out what God's will was. But I find that I can get the mind of the Lord today by just changing two letters. I take this blessed book, and by using and thumbing in it, I get the mind of the Lord today. You know what the problem is? Believers don't use and thumb through this thing like they should. This is the mind of God. We read verses that it revealed God's mind today. I wonder what God's thinking up in heaven. I don't have to say that today. I know what God's mind is. He made it up a long time ago before me or you were ever heard of. And the question is, do you agree with Him today? Or do you want to do your own thing? Choice is yours. God's will is clear. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, God's will is for you to get saved today. God's will is for you to repent whatever's keeping you from Christ Jesus and accepting what He did for you. He wants you to turn from whatever that is that's the roadblock. Whatever it is that's the opposition, whatever's thwarting you, He wants you to turn from it and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Just believe on Him the best you can. Faith in what God's will is, what God's Word has said. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning?